as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the first hour, they'll be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we're just going to start out talking about some of the things that I'm thinking about, and then we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, we've certainly got several communications from the Near East this last week. One of them comes from a woman who's a missionary in Israel, and she emailed that she had actually had to go to Turkey to get her visa renewed to remain in Israel. And she found that in Turkey, all the talk is about the coming attack on Kurdistan. Now, you remember that the Kurds are the one people in the world who don't have a country. They're Kurds in Iraq and Iran and Syria and in Turkey. They each have a component, but the Kurds don't have a country of their own. And so there is, within a northern Iraq, a group, I think they call them the PPK or the PKK, and they're actually making raids into Turkey from northern Iraq and disrupting the settlements in that area. And the Turks are getting very, very tired of it, and they've asked the Kurdish government, which really has sort of an independent government from the chaos that exists in Baghdad, they've asked the Kurds to do something. The Kurds have not stopped the incursions. So the Turks are getting ready to invade Kurdistan. Now, if they do that, that will certainly, a lot of Kurds will be killed. It'll destabilize that area. The Americans are pleading with the Turks not to invade. We're trying to do everything we can, but the Turks seem to be intent upon invading there. And, of course, there's a lot of unrest in Turkey because of America's attacks on the Islamic world. There's been a tremendous increase in support for this radical form of Islam. Now, a lot of these people would not want to go out and become suicide bombers, but certainly within Turkey and within Pakistan, within Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Egypt, in all the Islamic countries, because America is over there violating their laws and violating their people, and they're smart enough to know that we really didn't go into Afghanistan to catch Osama bin Laden, because if we'd gone into Afghanistan to accept Osama bin Laden, we would have gotten him. And we didn't go into Iraq because we just wanted to bring democracy to the Islamic world. They feel we went in there because we wanted to maul and kill Muslims and show how strong we were, and of course steal the Iraq's oil, and they resent that. What's happening is that there's tremendous unrest in Turkey, and although the military there wants a secular country, if they were to have a vote in Turkey tomorrow, why, it would be the Islamists would take over that country. And of course, the same thing would be true if they were to have a vote in Pakistan. The radical Islamists would take over Pakistan, and they would have at their disposal, of course, all the nuclear-tipped missiles. Missiles come from communist China. built with American technology. You can feel comfortable with that. Don't you remember when Bill Clinton gave the Chinese communists the technology to build sophisticated, efficient missiles? And we were told he just did it for just a couple of $100,000 in donations. Don't believe it for a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about what's going on over there in the Near East, what's going on in the Middle East, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what we're seeing is preparations for a war between Turkey and Kurdistan. Will it occur? Well, we're just going to have to wait and see, but what I was told from somebody who was just in Turkey this last week or so is that the Turks are mounting their troops on the border with Iraq, with Kurdistan, preparing for an attack. Now, the other thing that is going on in Israel, everybody is frightened to death at the prospect of war. And the thing is that every Israeli had a gas mask. But during the last war, why, of course, they told everybody to open them up, and of course, every kit that had not only gas mask, it had iodine, and it had atropine, and it had all the things you'd need for chemical and biological warfare. And then when the war didn't occur, why, they picked up all the gas masks, and they haven't redistributed them to the Israelis. Why would you do something that stupid? Why not pick up a few of them, replenish the kits, and give them back again? But at least some of the information that I've gotten is that the average Israeli, right at the present time, does not have a gas mask, or many of them don't. And, of course, there's much to suggest that the Syrian missiles, at least, are tipped with nuclear and chemical and biological warfare agents. And I believe that they got those from Saddam Hussein. I believe Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction were taken to Syria, and many of his warheads have been put on the missiles that are now aimed at Israel. And the people of Israel are frightened to death at the prospect of a missile war. Won't be necessarily a ground war, that kind that Israel has done so well in the past, but a missile war, and of course there would not be simply a few dozen missiles coming in at one time. There would be 10,000 missiles coming at one time, hitting every corner of Israel, because of course the Syrians now have the Chinese built and perhaps even Russian built intermediate range missiles, very, very sophisticated. They can hit anything thanks to American technology. And if the war is launched, why, Israel could be wiped out in a course of several days. And we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so if you're out there in the listening audience, this is an open line program, and we invite your call. We're simply talking about the information we're getting out of Israel. And it appears that at least many Israelis do not necessarily have gas masks. And the reason they don't have them is because they collected them after, and they were going to replenish the kits that they're, and they just haven't got around to giving them out again. And so many Israelis do not have gas masks. And there is a serious question as to whether those Syrian missiles that are actually the Chinese missiles, which have been, of course, perfected with American technology, those Chinese missiles that are aimed at Israel, certainly many of them may have chemical or biological warheads on them. And we're talking about the possibility of simultaneous attack from the south, with Hamas, and from the north by Hezbollah, that would be able to target the whole of Israel within a relatively few hours. And it would not only be Tel Aviv and Haifa and the other Jewish cities, but it would be the airfields where the Israeli Air Force is. And, of course, that is what the Israelis are depending upon, their air, superior air power, and yet that could be wiped out in just a matter of a few hours. And so Israel really, of course, has one opportunity to survive, and that would be a preemptive strike. In other words, they would have to attack before they are attacked. And there's several interesting articles that come out of Israel, written by respected writers for the Jerusalem Post, were suggesting that this is the situation that exists today. Now, our contacts in Israel tell us that everybody is on edge. Everybody knows that war is coming, and it's coming very soon. And I believe many of the Arabs over there in the neighboring countries are very, very concerned about this as well. In fact, the reports we have is that either yesterday or today, the Arab League is sending a delegation to Israel offering, you know, peace and recognition of their security. If Israel will simply agree to withdraw to the borders that they had before the 67 war, which would mean, Chris, foregoing Judea and Samaria and falling back behind the fence that they put up there. But there are many Jews who say, look, I mean, we signed this, you keep offering peace. I mean, we've offered you 95% of all the land we have, and you wouldn't take that. And supposedly we signed the treaty with you, but what about Hezbollah and Hamas? Are they going to sign this agreement? And I don't think they are. We can't trust you, because we've trusted you in the past time and time again. Of course, we've signed peace treaties and you violated them. I mean, we cannot trust the Arabs to keep their word. And I think there's a great deal of justification for that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then as we begin to look at the geopolitics of the Near East, we realize that, of course, Syria, which lies very, very close to Israel, has a non-aggression pact with Iran. And if Syria is attacked, Iran then has promised they'll come to Syria's defense. And so, certainly there are many people in Israel who feel that if they are going to launch a preemptive strike on Syria, they'll have to launch a preemptive strike on Iran, and of course then Iran will retaliate. And what will America do if suddenly there is a war between Israel and Iran and Syria and Hamas and Hezbollah? Will we sit idly by and do nothing if Israel faces destruction? Well, I believe, of course, there are people in our government who want to see Israel destroyed. But, of course, are they going to allow it to happen on their watch? Would they'll be blamed for it? If the war were to break out, would America enter and carry out some strikes on Iran? Now, everybody agrees, and I think that this is very logical, that America really doesn't want to attack and occupy Iran. We can't even occupy Iraq, which has about a quarter of the landmass, a third of the landmass, and a third of the population. Of Iran, there's no way we'd be able to attack and occupy Iran. Our army is broken. Many of our military generals have made that statement. The army is broken. Our military supplies are wearing out. Many of our troops are over there on their third or fourth rotation. Many of them are ill from the diseases that they have picked up, and depleted uranium and other diseases. We don't even know what experiments they've done on them this time, but we do know that after many of these young men are out of the service, within the first 90 days, within 3 months, a third of them are ill, and certainly they call them post-traumatic stress or something else, but it really isn't. I suspect it's something very, very similar to the Gulf War illness, and probably has to do with depleted uranium, because what is so difficult for people to understand and to believe is that there really are people in Washington, D.C. who want to destroy the health of our young people. And whether it be our children, one in every six children in America has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Probably every child has had some damage done by the vaccines and the fluoride and the aspartame and the mercury and the aluminum that they've been given. And, of course, if they would do that to our youth, and they would destroy the minds of so many of our children, why should we be surprised if they would destroy the health of their fighting men who, under ordinary circumstances, would oppose the tyranny that is planned, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. And so many of our troops, at least a third of them, are ill within 3 months after they come home. But, of course, many of them are getting ill while they're in the military and are just not able to carry out the strenuous activities that they're required of them. And so we're not in a position to militarily, with a land force, attack Iran. However, our air force is intact. Our navy is intact. We've increased both the naval and the air force forces over there. Actually, apparently, they're B-1 bombers. B-1 bombers are frightening. Weapon that can carry 5-ton bombs. You know, they're pretty powerful, and these B-1 bombers are stationed over in that area, and they've massively increased our air force there in the in Iraq and in Kuwait and Dubai and all the other military facilities in that area. In fact, I did a fascinating interview this last weekend with a lieutenant colonel, Karen Kowitsky, I believe her name was, and she was just talking about how certainly, you know, there are many people in the military who haven't been involved in the war yet, and if you're a professional military, you want to get into the war because that's how you get your medals, and so they're really looking forward to this war with Iran. Military people, some of them want to fight. Others, the older ones, the ones who've seen the devastating effect of war, are frightened to death. In fact, a number of the generals and admirals, at least according to a recent article by Seymour Hersh in the New Yorker magazine, a significant number of generals and admirals have said that if the Bush administration launches a preemptive war on Iran, that they will simply, resign their commissions and oppose them. But the president doesn't care how anybody feels. He doesn't care how the military feels. He is following an agenda, and believe me, he is not making the decisions. The decisions are made by Dick Cheney and the men who controlled Dick Cheney, who is, of course, part of the ruling elite that has controlled this country going back for more than a century. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you look at what's going on, certainly in Iraq, in Iran, and you realize the United States, which was formerly the greatest creditor nation in the world, is now the greatest debtor nation in the world. We're having to borrow between $3 and $3.5 billion a day simply to pay our debts, to finance the war that's going on over in Afghanistan and Iraq, and all the money we're wasting on all the programs is just unbelievable. I mean, they lost $12 billion over in Iraq. They have no idea what happened to it. The Department of Defense has lost $1 trillion over the last 3 or 4 years. They have no idea what's happened to all the money they've lost. But our government is on the verge of financial bankruptcy. And the dollar is falling. If you're watching what's happening on international markets, the dollar is falling in relationship to the euro and the yen and certainly many other currencies. And what we're really in real problems financially, the housing bubble is beginning to collapse. Our industry is cutting back, new orders are down, certainly as more and more of our factories move overseas. Our major corporations like General Motors, if you calculate what they owe and have agreed to pay and have contracts to pay for the pensions and the health care of over a million retirees, that's a million retirees and their families, why, of course, they're talking about the negative net worth of General Motors of well over $50 billion. In other words, they would have to have $50 billion more just to have no worth at all. And this is General Motors this great corporation that one time we used to say, what's good for General Motors is good for America. That's no longer the case. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call if you'd like to talk on what we're talking about or some other subject. This is Open Line Wednesday. We'll look forward to hearing from you. Well, Dr. Stan, we've got Ray calling. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. There's been a lot of talk now about impeachment. I think it was...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And I was simply mentioning some of the presidential directives, such as those that were put out on the 9th of May, which allows the president to declare a dictatorship at any time he wants to, for any reason he wants to, without congressional consent, and for an indefinite period of time. And of course,
he can't do that, though, Dr. Stanton.
Well, he's already done it, and well, nobody in Congress has had the courage to stand up against
they've
him.
They've got to. It's imperative.
No, you're being logical, Ray. We're not dealing with what's logic. We're dealing with a bunch of whimpering congressmen.
They're cowardly.
They're cowardly congressmen.
Yeah.
But if they don't have the courage to stand up, who is going to call the president to the fact that you are not above the law? And this is the frightening thing.
You know.
But the most recent, of course, monstrosity is this one that just came out this last week, where, of course, which allows the president to seize the property of anyone in this country who is critical of what we're doing over in Iraq.
And oh my God!
It could be interpreted as saying that, and you know, anybody, of course, who is doing anything to help the people over, to oppose what we're doing in Iraq and bringing victory there, certainly would be susceptible to arrest and confiscation of property.
Oh.
And there would be no appeal. It would simply be done by the military. So, I agree with you, Ray. Something has to be done.
God has to intervene. God has to intervene, and he always does. He did with Hitler. He put him down in that bunker, and he made him shoot himself in the mouth, and that was a great thing. I came of age during the Nixon years, in my 20s and during that time. And I remember Nixon. I was so frightened of Nixon. I was scared to death, I was in the draft, and they didn't draft me, but fortunately, during the Vietnam War, but I had a number, I was in the lottery at that time, and I had a fairly low number, as I recall, and I remember being involved in anti-war protests at the time, and I was frightened to death of Nixon.
I think you had good right to be. We carry a book called The New World Order by William Still. And when William Still was a very young man, his father was in the military. And this was during the Nixon years. And actually, his father was approached by people within the military who wanted to know if the military would go along with a dictatorship so that Nixon could not be impeached. And of course, the father said no, it was a terrible thing. He would not support anything that was unconstitutional. And I think that probably the vast majority of the military people who were approached had the same feeling. And so Nixon didn't try to establish a dictatorship, but he wanted to.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And, of course, we know that Major General Smedley Butler back in the 1930s was approached by the same group of men who really are in working control of our government today. And they wanted Smedley Butler to lead a putsch. In other words, an overthrow of the Roosevelt regime and bring these people of great wealth and power into positions of power. They wanted a fascist society. That's covered in a book called The Plot to Seize the White House, and it tells the story that Major General Smedley Butler put out, but we never talk about this sort of thing in America.
There was a movie. You remember Meet John Doe?
No, I really don't.
With Gary Cooper?
No.
Anyway, it was a Frank Capra movie, and it was about a guy that these conniving people pick out of nowhere to be an all-American guy, and everything. And then they set him up, and then the guy that really wants to take control wants a totalitarian government. He wants to take over the country. It's a really interesting movie, but it kind of reminds me of what Dick Cheney and the rest of them are doing right now.
Well, because you remember that the Trilateral Commission, the purpose of the Trilateral Commission, according to Barry Goldwater, was to gain multinational control of the commercial and banking interests of the world by first seizing control of the United States government. Now, Barry Goldwater wrote that in 1969, I think. It was later than that. It was probably 1979. But Barry Goldwater was absolutely right. They established the Trilateral Commission in 1973. And ever since then, either every president or every, at least, or every, at least the president or the vice president has always come from David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission. They control our government today.
Oh,
and of course, they control through the Council on Foreign Relations, their control of the media, the Federal Reserve System, our corporations' media. They pretty well control America. Hang on there, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we had somebody who called in and said the Speaker of the House becomes President if the President and Vice President are impeached, unless somebody else has some different information. Why, of course, we'll let that stand, but then if you please look it up on the Internet, and I could be wrong. But anyway, we have Ray on the line. Ray, did you have something else you wanted to bring up?
Well, praise God, you know, that we still have a country and we're still living lives, you know, that are meaningful. I have a lot of faith. I'm kind of an optimistic kind of person, actually, in a way, even though I have severe dislikes, you know, as far as people in government. I'm very optimistic about the system that was set up with the Constitution, and I think it can work. Again, you know, it hasn't worked for the last 7 years since he's been in office.
Well, it really hasn't worked for a long time, right? Because, of course, the American people really don't understand that we have a one-party system and this tremendous concentration of wealth and power in the hands of a ruling financial elite. This is the problem. And, of course, you can go back. I have a book that was written by President Woodrow Wilson back in 1913. He talked about these same people who were in power at that time, and through the use of credit and money and financial power, they ruled our country. And as he said, we are the worst ruled nation in the world, and no longer a land of opportunity. Everything is controlled by the elite. And nothing really has changed. I mean, they've given us this idea that we're free. And yet, of course, 7 million Americans today are either in prison, probation, or parole. And you don't find that higher figure even over in communist China. Now, admittedly, we can speak out much more than they can. But everybody's forgotten that the United States brought the Chinese communist government to power, is financing them today with massive loans and extensions of credit from the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Export-Import Bank, the Asian Development Bank, American corporations and American banks, and direct aid from the American government, and subsidies from the American government. But where is the outcry that we are financing this horrible totalitarian government over there? Nothing as it appears to be, and I fear very much that this is all part and parcel of this movement towards the New World Order. We'll be right back here. And thanks so much for
calling. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we've got Terry calling. Hi, Terry. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm pretty good. Oddly enough, last night on the program, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? That was the question, who is the next successor after the vice president?
All right. Well, are we smarter than a sixth grader or not?
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, basically, I thought it was the Speaker of the House.
You're right.
Okay.
The last caller mentioned Hitler putting a bullet in his face. Doubtfully he did that, but whether or not he did, there's a really interesting article on Last Trumpet Ministries online. David Meyer, and he talks about the sperm of Hitler being saved and the biological offspring of Hitler through Eva Braun's sister, Gretel, is now the Chancellor of Germany.
I don't know anything about it. That sounds pretty far-fetched.
Well, read the article on The Last Trumpet Ministries, and David Myers very much straight up and straight ahead on his facts.
All right, well, we'll have to look at it. Nothing would really, nothing would surprise me. The fact that,
exactly.
You know, that 10,000 of the most vicious of the Nazis, like Martin Bormann, Adolf Eichmann, Klaus Barbie, Dr. Mengele, the Angel of Death, were all, of course, allowed to escape to South America, were helped to escape to South America by the CIA, the OSS, MI6.
Well, and don't forget the Vatican. They're called the Vatican.
And the Vatican was involved as well in that. And they knew exactly where they were, and, of course, they did everything they could to keep the Jewish group, the Wiesenthal Center, from knowing where they were. They were actively protected down there in South America. 10,000 Nazis under Operation Paperclip, and then, of course, here in the United States, the thousands of Nazi scientists who were brought over here, and they make this great to-do about the 10 Nazis who were hung there after Nuremberg. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is all, of course, the great cover-up. The one thing they do not want you to know is that Adolf Hitler and the Nazis were financed both before and during the Second World War by our great corporations and by very powerful and wealthy interests here in the United States.
More importantly, by the Vatican. But apparently Dr. Klauberg is the one who had actually served 7 years after his indictment of the Nuremberg trials, his conviction. And he supposedly is the one who had preserved frozen samples of Hitler's sperm. And through Eva Braun's youngest sister, Gretel, they have produced a biological daughter of Hitler, who is now the Chancellor of Germany, the head of the European Union, and one other thing, some economic position. But it's a fascinating article, and anybody who's up to date on all this really strange, these strange proceedings will connect the dots. It's not that far-fetched if you're up on things, but check it out.
I will check it out, Terry. I appreciate so much your mentioning it.
Thank you, and
bye-bye.
Have a good one.
All right, fine. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got John calling from Cooperstown, New York. Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I had a comment, a couple. First of all, it kind of relates to the second comment. I'm something of a media analyst, and it's really occurred to me in the past few months the role of our pundits on the mainstream media channels is not only to pretend to give information, but also to give us permission to go along with the powers that be in the status quo. And before you went on the air, I was listening to William Grieg's program last night, and I was inspired to write a paragraph, kind of an appeal to the rest of the countries in the world who might look at America as being a bully. But it's also relevant to our listeners in the States, and take me about a minute to read it.
Go right ahead and read it then, John.
Okay, thank you. Nations of the world, take heed. You now have an example of power gone out of control, happening in real time. As you look at what is taking place in America and how it has affected others in the world, including torture and murder, look at your own country. Are there forces within your own borders who would do the same things as our president and his supporters? Observe, study, and learn, or the responsibility you will avoid, now will be paid back by orders of magnitude in suffering and death. Just as nature gives warning to the alert, It is entirely predictable what will become of the world if good people of sound mind do nothing.
Well said, John. And of course, I am embarrassed by what our president and what our government is doing. And what really bothers me is more good people have not spoken out against this. And many of our Christian leaders have failed to speak out against this. I was told, however, that the National Association of Evangelicals, which does represent a number of the evangelical churches, has come out against torture. I was pleased to hear that. What really surprised me, since I try to keep abreast of what's going on, is that I did not hear of this until recently, and of course their statement has been fairly well suppressed by the media. So certainly I think we should all be concerned by the fact that there are people in our government who have different values than most Americans hold. I think most Americans are good people. I think we are still a majority who are at least nominally Christians, who are offended by these ideas of injustice and torture and an aggressive war. But people do not understand, and the one thing we stress over and over is that there are two forces in America. There's the Christian force, the force of goodness and wholesomeness and apple pie and motherhood, and then there is a force of organized evil, and it dates itself back to the Elizabethan times of the 1600s. Well, of course, Elizabeth, I think, died in the early 1600s, but the forces that were there after that, it started in England during Elizabethan times, but spread to America in the 1640s and 1650s under the guise of the Rosicrucians, and of course has been here in one form or another ever since. And these, of course, are the ancient mystery religions, the ancient secret societies that have always looked to America to become the new Atlantis, to bring about the new world order and the new world religion, which is why we are fighting in the Middle East today, which is why we may very well go into Pakistan, which is why we may very well go and attack Iran, which doesn't make any sense. So if it doesn't make any sense, there has to be another explanation. And only when you begin to look at the spiritual implications of what's going on, does anything going on in the world today make sense. But we still are good people, and we just need to get those good people mobilized to turn back to the Lord. What we need is a great revival in America, a third great awakening to take back our country. But I share your concern, and I think that people throughout the world are looking with horror at what has become of what an America that they once admired and looked to as the moral leader of the world, and now I think they look upon us as the greatest purveyor of pornography and depravity and torture and illegitimacy. And I think they no longer respect America. They fear America, with good justification. But what they do not understand is that our leadership has been taken over by people who are dedicated to a different dream, and that is the world government that is embraced by the leaders of both political parties and our great industrialists and our great bankers and our great corporations and certainly our people who control our foundations and our media.
Well, I think that if people did speak out around the world, the whole system is interconnected, and if America was embargoed, there might be a little change in direction. I'm not holding my breath, but this administration should be a mirror to the rest of the world to see what is going on in their own countries, because the central banks cooperate.
Well, I think really what's so interesting, John, is that many people throughout the world, have for many, many years wanted to hold American dollars, and they would put their savings into American dollars because, of course, they were a symbol of stability. And, of course, they would rather hold American dollars than their own currency. But that is all changing. In Russia today, the average Russian who in years past wanted American dollars is getting out of American dollars and buying rubles or euros, and the same thing is happening throughout the world today. And it's starting, just as a slow surge.
Sure.
But when it becomes a stampede and people start and getting rid of their American dollars, because those dollars are going to start coming home here and feed the fires of inflation that are going to, of course, disrupt and eventually destroy everything.
Feed the wood-burning stoves.
All right. And let me just put out our telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, you agree, you disagree, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. John, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
No, that's all. Thank you very much, Doctor.
You're welcome. And, of course, that was John calling from Cooperstown, New York. And this is Open Line Wednesday, and where we'll take your calls and your discussions on what you think is going on in the world. Well, of course, nothing new has come up as far as the war in the Middle East this week, other than the things I've told you. The Israelis are preparing for war. The Arab countries are doing everything they can to avoid it. As I mentioned earlier, the Arab League is approaching Israel and saying, look, I mean, we will guarantee the security of your country and your borders if you'll just simply give back all the land you took before the 67 war, and we'll sign a peace treaty with you and say you have a right to exist. And the Israelis are saying, well, that's all well and good, but what about Hamas? I mean, what about, you know, Ahmadinejad? What about, Syria? What about Hezbollah? Are they going to guarantee our right to survive? And what about all the weapons they have? Now, Egypt, of course, has given up any pretense of being friendly with Israel. They're doing everything they can to help, Hamas to the south, certainly organize in preparation for war. And certainly in Iran, why this small contingent of mullahs who are in positions of power really want to have a war with America. They believe, as very, very sincerely, that the only way that the Mahdi is going to return, that is their world leader, who will come back after, I think he supposedly died about 900, fell in a well when he was 5 years old, but he's going to come back and rule the whole world, but they're going to have a nuclear war before that happens. Well, let's go to Henry, who's calling from Connecticut, and again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Henry, how are you doing?
Hi, how you doing? I'm calling from Connecticut, New England area. Yeah, you mentioned a couple of things. You were talking about the dollar.
Right.
And I'm sure you're familiar with a brilliant economist who puts out a newsletter, not a newsletter, actually, it's a magazine, a subscription to an important newsletter called International Forecaster Robert Chapman. You've heard of him, or actually you had him on the show.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you something very interesting. You mentioned the dollar, and you're talking about the Russians, and here's what Chapman says recently. He says that the globalists, now, as far as I know, Putin is or was a KGB agent.
Yes, he was the head of the KGB or the FSB.
Now, was it nationally or just a local unit of the section in Russia?
No, he was the head of the whole KGB.
They call it the
FSB now, but it is a continuation of the KGB.
Okay. Well, here's what's strange. He says that the people who want to have the world government, they're trying to get rid of him. And they want to get rid of him badly. One of them was a Russian Jewish guy named Borisovsky. Not Borzinski now. I'm not talking about him, the guy that worked with Rockefeller in the Trilateral. This guy's name is a similar name, but it's longer.
There's one fellow called Borisovsky.
Yeah, Borisovsky, right. Okay. And he's in England, in exile.
Right.
And they want to, and apparently a lot of the people that, and most of them were Jews, they're Russian Jewish, that were trying to suck Russia dry, and a lot of them have dual citizenship in Israel and trying to milk Russia dry, and then they run to Israel. Borisovsky he had some money in so many billion or something in Israel. He's funded by the Rothschild, by the way. You know, Rothschild just put so much money in his lap, literally, to do whatever he's doing. And he got so much money also he put into England. And as a result, England's not going to extradite him to Russia. Now, apparently they want to get rid of him. I'm talking about they want to get rid of Putin. There's something with Bush trying to set up some kind of missile defense system to, against Russia. And they really got something with Russia. So I'm wondering, According to Chapman, he says that Plotkin is really on the good side of things, that he kicked out a lot of all these people of cohorts connected with Rothschild and Rockefeller and all those bankers. A lot of those people, he kicked them out of the country. And also, he's pretty popular in Russia. Now, have you heard something different? Is he still, what I want to know is, as far as I know, is Plotkin right now today, is he still a communist or is he just a Russian nationalist just trying to protect Russia?
Well, first of all, I love Bob Chapman. He's been at this almost as long as I
have.
Maybe even a little longer. But I disagree with him. I think Plotkin's a bad guy, and I think they're all bad guys. I think that what we are trying to do is lay the foundation for a war with Russia. I believe this war is
coming. I have one other thing. I hit a bell.
Right, go ahead.
Hang on. Okay.
Okay. No, go right ahead. I'll cut you off when we have to. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, this other thing was a little long. It has to do with the gold. The dollar, it's on the same subject. What I was saying is that these guys are manipulating the gold market.
Right.
Recently, it happened just now this week. Gold was pushing again, going up to that $690 mark. And it got up to 688, 686. And then, all of a sudden, now it's been today, it was knocked down to 670 something.
Right.
And, even Chapman reported, because he's keeping a tag on how many tons that they're using to manipulate the market with. Okay. And,
Hold that thought right there. Okay, Henry, go ahead. Henry, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. Make it quick because we got
one. Yeah, I'm going to finish so you can take other calls. Yeah. Basically, in a nutshell, is this. This happened twice already within 2 months already where gold is creeping. Gold really, other investors are picking up, including Futures Magazine. They had articles, Stocks and Commodities, that's another magazine, but not widely circulated on Wall Street newsstands. But yet, a lot of top traders, inside traders, you know, individual traders, not necessarily tied in with Wall Street, but ones who want to try that, you know, go into that route, they know about that magazine. They know about Futures Magazine, which is a commodities magazine. Yeah. They both have articles about gold recently. Yeah. So a lot of investors are picking up, and I think that we have investors, individual investors, including Chapman in his newsletter going all around the world and the web, is, you know, with collective individual investors are probably pushing gold more toward beyond 700, and whenever gold gets to near 690, these people are dumping a certain amount to keep it down. About a month ago, they knocked it down to 650.
Okay,
now,
Henry, the thing is that everything is manipulated. They've been manipulating commodities, they've been manipulating gold, they've been manipulating silver, they've been manipulating oil, and
true.
They're beginning to lose control. And
yes, that's what Chapman says.
And so I think that we're in for some very exciting times, you know, and of course, we're in for some very difficult times because I think there's going to be skyrocketing prices of commodities and gold and silver and oil, and it's going to have a devastating effect on so many people in our country who don't understand, as you and I do, what's going on. But God bless you. Thanks so much. And,
okay.
And let's go to Jim calling from Missouri. Jim, we're almost out of time. Quick question.
Happened to read Pat Buchanan's last Tuesday morning article from last week called Gulf of Tonkin 2 and the Guns of August.
Tell me, what does it say?
Quickly, he said in August of 64, the Republicans had just nominated Barry Goldwater. Congress was out of town for its month-long recess, and it was claimed on August 2nd and 4th that the Vietnamese attacked our ships, and so we were off and running. And he was basically going over all this now and saying, now we're here, we got, you know, all these ships over there, Congress is fixing to go on their month-long vacation, and no one has held a hearing or anything about going to Iran.
I know, but the Congress has given the president a tacit permission to do that by voting for the Lieberman Amendment.
97-0.
Right, and so I'm very, very concerned. I share your concern and Pat Buchanan's concern. We've got to let you go. We're out of time. God bless.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I always look forward to Open Line Wednesday. But next week, I want you to call in earlier. We get all sorts of calls just there at the end of the program. But I share that we just had Jim on the line calling from Missouri, pointing out that Pat Buchanan has written an article about the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and the guns of August, and that pointing out that certainly the Gulf of Tonkin incident did not occur, but of course it was used to justify taking America into the war and slaughtering 58,000 American boys uselessly in a no-win war because of an incident that didn't occur. But of course it occurred in supposedly in August, and then Congress went on vacation, and using the similarity between what happened back in 1964 then to of course what's happening today as Congress is getting ready to go on vacation, as they've given tacit approval for an attack on Iran, hope and pray that it doesn't occur. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We depend upon those of you who listen to our program to help us, and if you agree, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and financial an economic battlefield, why we hope many of you will decide to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America on almost 60 of different types of outlets every single week. I mean, we've got we're no Rush Limbaugh, but we're reaching a lot of people, and we need your help to do it, though, to maintain what we have. And of course, if you'd like to get onto our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can see the things that we offer. If you've not yet, of course, laid in a supply of food supplies, because if we get into a war with Iran, why, we could see a total disruption of things going on in this country. And we could see very real terrorist attacks here. Maybe they're contrived, maybe they're not. Doesn't really matter if the infrastructure of our nation begins to shut down. If you've not begun to make your preparations, why, do them now. If you'd like a free catalog for emergency foodstuffs, if you'd like a catalog on health products, or a regular catalog, give us a call. And if you have a catalog, I mean, remember the things you're going to need. You're going to need water, you're going to need Berkey water filters, you're going to need barrels, you're going to need pumps to get the water out of the barrels. You're going to need, of course, emergency food. And so many of the things you need are available through Radio Liberty. If you'd like the emergency catalog, fine. If you already have an emergency catalog, do not put this off. And if you want to go elsewhere, that's fine. You go wherever you want to, whichever most convenient. But begin making your preparations fiscally, financially, and spiritually for the very real crisis do I believe that we are facing. I hope and pray we're not going to have a war with Iran and certainly with Pakistan, but who knows what's going to happen. I believe there are powerful spiritual forces that are driving what's going on and have blinded the leaders of this country, and many of them, of course, are supporting this idea of we've got to go to war with Iran, which will be a disaster down the line. And I believe God is going to bring his judgment upon this country as he's brought it upon every country that's turned against him. So our plea to you, of course, is please, of course, begin looking at what's going on and pray. Certainly pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour. We're going to have Carol Matriciana as a guest. Remember, you can hear our programs at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com or Global Star. You can listen to them live 4 hours a day, and to get our other programs from the American Freedom Network as well. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, for this hour, our guest is going to be Carol Matriciana. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the Harry Potter series, series of books that has brought the author, Miss Rowland, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 billion, and of course has introduced literally millions of young people throughout the world to the ancient craft of witchcraft. Now a lot of people will say, oh, it's all make-believe, it's just all fun and games, it's a good story, and it is a good story, and Rollins has written very, very well, but this is all based upon witchcraft, and what we've done is intrigue many of our young people with this idea that there is supernatural power out there which they can tap into. And the trouble with this concept is there really is supernatural power out there, which young people and anybody in the listening audience can tap into. But you tap into it at the danger of your eternal soul. And what we have to do is point out to people that the Lord tells us to avoid the mediums and the fortune tellers and the clairvoyants and the people who are diviners and people who are into witchcraft and people who are tapping into this other dimension. Why? Because he knows how susceptible we are to the power that is there, the very real power which we must avoid if we hope to be true to our Lord. Carol, thank you so very much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Thank you for inviting me to be your guest.
Well, tell us, your take on the series, the Harry Potter series. You've written extensively about it, and apparently the last, of course, of the in the series says that this is really, of course, a very, very strong and powerful Christian message. Every Christian should actually read this, the last of the books, because you'll understand this is a Christian message and will strengthen your Christian beliefs. Do you believe that?
What? What did you say, Dr. Stan? Where did that come from?
All right, you should read Barrett Chose's latest article. She's actually quoting some of the some Christian ministers who are making this statement.
Yes, exactly. That was the various books. You see, at this past weekend, book number 7 of J.K. Rowling's 7-part series was released. And over the years, different Christians have endorsed the various books. At first, it was sort of shunned, I should say, but now Christians are standing up in the pulpit using Harry Potter as a sort of Christ-like figure and building sermons around him and parables and stories that we can use this little witch's life and his fight for good and evil, his courageous attempts, and sort of compare them with scriptures. And it's just absolutely incredible. You're absolutely right. I mean, what amazed me was the Archbishop of Canterbury in the Church of England have just recently endorsed this and are telling their people how to use Harry Potter to spread a Christian message. The Church of England a couple of weeks ago came out with, published a guide advising youth workers how to use Harry Potter to spread the Christian message. And this is so incredible because Harry Potter is a witch.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. And, of course, Carol points out, when you have Christian leaders throughout the world telling people to use Harry Potter as a character you look up to, you can learn how children can learn from these stories. And the truth of the matter is, Harry Potter is a full-fledged witch, and what we're doing is introducing children all throughout the world, not only to this concept of witchcraft, but to the other dimensions. So pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, what's happening, Dr. Stan, is that we're neutralizing witchcraft. We're equalizing good and bad magic. We're saying that because Harry, and many, many Christians are saying that Harry is the white side of witchcraft. He's purporting to be a white witch. He uses magic in a neutral sense. So good and bad magic are being equalized. This, I think, is the greatest campaign. These books have been out for 10 years. They've spread across 10 years, 7 books. J.K. Rowling said that it would take 7 years for her hero to become a perfect wizard, and she has written 4,100 pages over his 7 years, spanning from 11 years to 17, as he has been learning the craft in Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, and each year getting deeper and deeper into the craft. The teachers there are teaching how to read palms, crystal balls, the future, divination, sorcery, rituals, potions, mixing potions. So all the things that are done by actual witches in many of their ceremonies and celebrations. Now, of course, many witches will dismiss it and say, we don't do this and we don't do that. But basically, J.K. Rowling herself has admitted that approximately one-third of what she has written is based on actual occultism. So she changes the names, the Latin names a little bit. She sort of changes the titles to make them amusing, etc. But the essence is what we're talking about, the source, the potential of magic. And many of the characters' names in her books are historically accurate. And in the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, the students are encouraged to go to the Hogwarts Library, to the textbooks, and that those textbooks actually directly tie the students to actual publications about witchcraft and the occult.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Carol. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carol Matriciano. We're talking about Harry Potter. And how, of course, so much of J.K. Rowling's writings are really based upon real investigation of witchcraft and books and texts which are written by witches. And, of course, I've had communication with witches who, this one witch was very angry with me because of a nationwide program I did, and where I talked about Luciferianism and I talked about witchcraft, and I at no point had said that witches worship Lucifer. I mean, they have each or manifestations of this same supernatural world, but she said, I am a white witch. I am a good witch. Now, there's some bad witches out there who will do evil things because they use black magic, but I use white magic. And, of course, and I'm a good witch, and really the only thing that we try to do, we use our rituals and our potions and our spells because we want to contact the beings from the other dimension. We want to contact the beings from the other dimension. And what we're doing, of course, with the Harry Potter books is we're glamorizing this whole idea. We're justifying white magic, and it's not bad. White magic is used for good. Black magic is used for bad. But God never said, well, you could only go to good fortune tellers or good diviners or good mediums. You want to avoid the bad ones. He said, avoid this altogether. So you pick the story up there, Carol.
Exactly. I think that's it. You see, the whole Harry Potter phenomenon is acting on different levels of the mundane and the subtle and going into sort of different levels of occultism. But basically, the seduction of children on a very innocent way was the first one of allowing the Harry Potter series to come into classrooms, to be read aloud in the classroom by the teachers. Scholastic Inc. were the publishers in this country. They are the curriculum providers. So the books came in 10 years ago, at least when that was when book number one was written. They came into the school curriculum a little later. But basically, children were taught by their teachers that these are fun books, and it's because it encouraged reading, because reading was the objective, it was okay for these books to be read, and supposedly that the content was fantasy. Well, we know that the Supreme Court has deemed witchcraft as a bona fide religion. It gets IRS tax-exempt status, and there are hundreds of thousands of witches all over the place who are thrilled that the Harry Potter books have portrayed witchcraft in a positive way. There's been a positive portrayal of magic and that it's good. So we have the witches happy with the books come out. Warner Brothers said of movie number one that this is an actual portrayal of witchcraft. So there are witches helping to make the films based on reality, at least portrayed as positive. So when we have this indoctrination going on through the school system, through the movies, through the entertainment industry, we are making witchcraft fascinating, and children are becoming, in a sense, because it's being endorsed by role models, they are being seduced into a pagan worldview. And I think this is the next thing that is a huge concern, is that there is a moral relativism that is being taught, where Harry, the so-called good character who lives a life of moral relativism, has very few consequences when he lies and he rule breaks. And for instance, in book number one, he disobeyed the school code 7 times without consequence. He lies, he cheats, he breaks the rules, and it's considered an excellent adventure. That's what the headmaster said. So J.K. Rowling has a very simple message. If someone is good and has good intentions, if they're particularly clever or exceptionally bright or whatever, more special than others, then they can break rules and they can lie and they can steal and it's okay. And Harry does break rules. Harry used his magic against his Muggle family. Now, this is another thing that happens. The Muggles is a derogatory term in England. When you call somebody a mug, it's a derogatory term. They're silly, they're foolish, they're stupid. So in the Harry Potter series, Muggles are those who do not believe in witchcraft or don't perpetuate witchcraft or are negative towards witchcraft. In other words, Christians who think in a negative way towards witchcraft are Muggles. And Harry's Muggle relatives are cruel and mean and horrible to Harry. So we have this kind of thought, idea, that those that don't believe in witchcraft are mean and cruel and horrible. So that's another level of indoctrination that is going on. And then we have, of course, Harry, who is the role model, and he's meant to be a good role model. So the next level of indoctrination that's going on is that there is a blurring of biblical distinctions between good and evil. And that's why, as Christians, so many are having a hard time, because they're saying, well, Harry is good, Harry's okay, let's focus in on the good things, the bravery and courage displayed in the characteristics. So what Christians are doing is they're endorsing these. They're trying to make lessons out of Harry Potter by looking at bravery and courage. But the problem is that the baddies, the evil people in the book, are also brave and courageous. The evil Lord Voldemort is brave and courageous. The wicked people, the ones on the dark side that draw from the dark power, are also brave and courageous. So we have got a real conflict of interest, and I think ultimately it's just blurring biblical distinctions between good and evil. So I think on many levels this is wrong, because it's teaching children that they can tap into a power of course, it's the white power, and they do have power by doing this. And when they finished reading the books, and kids, there are multiple readings, the children, there have been Barna polls and other surveys done that show that the kids that read Harry Potter are much more likely to dabble in the occult and in the supernatural spiritual world, and then you just have to walk down Barnes and Noble or any great bookstore and see hundreds of books for children to continue what they began in Harry Potter. There's Silver Ravenwolf. She's an outspoken witch. She's a mother of children who are witches, and she put together a teen witch kit, a very nice book, beautifully illustrated, wonderfully laid out, everything you need to make magic. And it's a little altar. The kit comes with a little cardboard box, a little altar, crystals, salt, bells, a pentagram, little knickknacks, and instructions throughout the book on how to call in powers into yourself, how to make a circle around yourself so that you don't have too much trouble. She warns that you might get a little bit dizzy when you first start this. You might feel a little strange, but don't worry, it'll be okay, you'll get used to it. And basically it walks you through how to become a channeler, how to become a medium, how to become a spiritist in a very child-friendly way, how to visualize, how to use your imagination to have what you want, and laid out in easy-to-read pages with very alluring little illustrations, and how you can learn how to train your mind, body, and spirit to work together in order to reach your desires.
No, the problem is the child is not in a position to be able to discern what's happening. If he suddenly begins to realize that there really is power out there he's going to tap into, and he has not certainly had the biblical training to say, no, I will avoid this, that he's going to accept it.
Of course.
Wouldn't
he
it be wonderful to have power?
So alluringly portrayed in the classroom, it's so alluringly portrayed in movies, TV series. We've got Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all sorts of films out there, horror films and movies with technical know-how today. The whole technical generation in movies, the incredible special effects make it look as though magic is actually happening, and it becomes something that kids want. And you hear grown-ups saying, oh, come on, children can tell the difference between fantasy and reality. But J.K. Rowling herself admits that children, she's had hundreds and hundreds of letters from children that want to go to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. They actually want to go to the boarding school. So now we've got boarding schools around the world that have made themselves available for children to come in on the internet, on websites, in actual camps to be able to learn magic, to be able to have all, you know, just have some of the fun already begun in the Harry Potter series. So children apparently can't discern between right and wrong or good and evil or reality and make-believe. In fact, when I was recently in England, I went to King's Cross Station. And King's Cross Station is the railway station. It is a real historical place, written in J.K. Rowling's fantasy world with fiction Harry Potter, but she uses actual reality. And so King's Cross Station exists, and Harry catches his train from platform 9 3/4. Well, there isn't a 9 3/4. There's platform 9, and there's platform 10. But incredibly, the middle of those platforms have been cordoned off with ropes, and at least when I went there, I don't know what they've done now, because hundreds and hundreds of children were coming there, throwing, running through the brick walls.
Oh, that thought will be right there. Well, Carol was telling us how there at King Cross Station in in London, where many children were actually trying to run to the wall there, you know, and actually because that's how you get
the way that Harry ran through the wall and then he disappears into the wall, and the other side is his magical train, which he takes to his boarding school, and here are kids hurting themselves going through these walls. So obviously, children are not able to discern between fantasy and reality, and so that's just some of the arguments that one gets, that, oh, it's just make-believe. Well, it isn't. It's a bona fide religion. The powers are not make-believe. Kids, witchcraft is the fastest-growing religion amongst teenagers. The Pagan Federation in England says that when various occult kids' shows come on, they receive hundreds of phone calls and letters asking where the local covens are or where teenagers or kids can go and learn more about whatever's being portrayed in the movies. So we're seeing that children are being excited, are being fascinated by this. The fascination is there, the lure is there. We only have to look at this past weekend and see that the phenomenon that happened with book number 7, it was released at midnight on Friday the 13th, and there were street parties, midnight parties going on, broom races, all sorts of activities to keep the kids occupied on the streets as they were lining up before the doors opened at midnight to these bookstores. And within the first 24 hours, in America alone, there were 300,000 copies sold, Dr. Stan. That's more than 5,000 a minute were just being sold in America. In England, there were 600,000 sold within the first 24 hours. One in every 10 English households, Britain, UK households, bought a copy, making it the fastest-selling book in the country's history. And on the first day, J.K. Rowling got almost $1 million from UK buyers alone on the first day. Potter fans were lining up on the streets of London outside Waterstone Bookstore. They came from Belgium and Netherlands, from Holland and Belgium, and these countries had sold out of their allocated 250,000 copies in the first 24 hours. In Paris, there was one store. One bookstore alone sold 3,000 copies. Germany, 400,000 copies were sold. In India, 100,000 copies were sold. So this was a global publishing phenomenon. Simultaneously across the world, there were more than 90 countries that had their copies in English simultaneously at the same time. This is incredible as a global indoctrination of our children into a pagan worldview.
And I really think this is what it's all about. You see, these children are not being introduced into a personal relationship with our Lord. They're being introduced into a world where there is a mysterious secret power that they can access, and it's not imaginary, it's very real. And once they, of course, have accessed that power, why, the life may never again be the same. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carol Matriciana. Of course, Carol has written extensively about Harry Potter. She's put together some excellent DVDs and videos on the subject, and I think it behooves everyone out there to understand what this phenomenon is about, because certainly this is not simply a nice bedtime story, a nice adventure story, a story of good and evil. It is a story of evil and the many manifestations of evil, some of which look good and some of look bad. But it is a story of evil that introduces our children to the fact that there is another dimension. They can tap into that dimension. If you tap into that dimension, there is no such thing as good magic or good supernatural power. It is all forbidden by our Lord, who knows very well how readily we would become susceptible to this. So pick up the story there and about your interpretation of what's going on in your videos.
Well, I made a DVD some years ago on Harry Potter called Harry Potter Witchcraft Repackage, Making Evil Look Innocent. And basically, after having read the first couple of books at that point when I first made the film, putting together some of the symbols, parents were becoming concerned. Christian parents didn't quite know how to deal with it. The schools had required reading of Harry Potter, and I'm happy to say that after the release of this film, a lot of teachers were able to be equipped enough, and the books became recommended reading, not required reading, although of course the pressure is still there, and it's very, very hard for Christian parents to stop the books being taken out of the classroom or out of the libraries, out of the school libraries, etc. And then when Harry Potter was shown, the movie is shown by Warner Brothers, you get kids being bused in school buses on our taxpayer dollars to the cinema to watch the Harry Potter movies when, of course, if it was a Christian message like Mel Gibson's The Passion, school buses weren't allowed to be used because that was called religious, because that was based on the Bible. But children going to Harry Potter, that is equally as religious, but is based on a pagan worldview, and that is considered acceptable. So this indoctrination was going on, and I felt it important to make this DVD, and I started getting letters after making Harry Potter of parents saying that their kids were now communicating with spirit guides and angels and saying that they were good people, and what was the difference? So I made Supernatural Powers, The Battle Between Good and Evil, after that, to explain that the angels that are God's ministering angels cannot be spoken to. They don't communicate with mankind. They work at God's bid and calling. They do God's job for him. They minister for God. They, of course, they minister to human beings, but under God's command. The ones that respond to human beings calling them belong to Satan. They are Satan's fallen angels. They're the ones that Jesus said when he walked earth that he saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. He saw that there was a time in history past where Satan and a third of his demons were sent out of the presence of God because this beautiful being, this luciferic being, this gorgeous creature that was made with jewels and musical instruments and music and sound and gloriousness, became the son of iniquity, disobeyed God, said that he could be raised up to receive the glory of God, and there was a fight in heaven. The battle in heaven was finished and completed, but it was only to begin on earth. And his agenda, Satan's agenda with the fallen angels, has been to dupe, destroy, deceive human beings ever since. He is the prince of the power of the air. He has been given control over earth. We know that because he tempted Jesus. When Jesus walked on this earth, Satan said, if you bow down before me, I will give you, I have authority to give you all of this if you worship me. Jesus didn't argue with him. Jesus said, God has given Satan authority. He is the power of the prince of the air. But we believers, if we believe that Jesus Christ has overcome the power of death, that he has overcome demonic beings, through Christ, we have the authority and power in Christ to overcome the dark side of evil. But in the Harry Potter book, the kids are being taught that they can defend themselves against the dark arts. That if they just concentrate like Harry, if they conjure up and imagine whatever they want in their mind, they can conjure powers through their own ability to defend themselves against the dark arts of powers and forces. So here we have kids being taught how to tap exquisitely within themselves.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Carol Matriciana, and we're talking about the tragedy of these young people watch the films and or read the book, and they think that they can combat evil on their own, that they can utilize these powers, but only for good. They don't understand what they're tapping into, and I don't think most adults do either. I mean, there is a supernatural world. You can tap into it. You do. You endanger your eternal soul. And we're exposing our children to this very real force. This is what is so frightening. And they're not able to discern good evil magic from bad magic. Is magic real? Well, there are some charlatans. There are a lot of illusionists out there. But there really are people, of course, who can tap into the other side and can carry out miraculous things. And they have, of course, this ability. It's not their ability, it's the demonic ability that surrounds them. So how are we going to combat this? How are we going to get people to realize the danger, Carol?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think education is very important. I think what you do is very valuable. I think there are terrific books. There are great DVDs out there of people trying to let people, you know, educating people, making people aware. I know it seems as though we're a little overwhelmed at the moment and we don't seem to be winning, but you know, God is greater. God will win out in the end. It's a question of faith. It's trusting in Him. But I think just equipping Christians and letting Christians understand that we cannot tamper, dabble. I mean, when you have the Church of England and these well-known Christian leaders like, you know, the Chuck Colson, World Magazine, Focus on the Family, these kind of supposedly well-known people that should know better, saying that we can, that, you know, they're praising the Harry Potter series, they're voicing enthusiasm, they're saying that everybody should read them, that there are great lessons in there about being courageous. And but what people don't understand is that Satan himself is called the Angel of Light. There is a light side of Satan. He is called the Angel of Light. His agenda is to deceive, and he has a huge panoramic stretch.
Hold that thought. The thought will be right back here, Carol. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Carol Matriciana. And, of course, Carol, before we go on, I want you to get out your website and how people can get in touch with your ministry.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Stan. It's on my name. Carol Productions is who makes the films. And my website is Carol. My name is spelled C-A-R-Y-L. So it's www.caryltv.com. CARYLTV, like television.com. And there are many, many productions in there, DVDs on the occult, the supernatural, Harry Potter, yoga. That's the recent one I made, again showing how this technique of visualizing is coming into the church. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are practicing yoga, visualizing the presence of God, thinking that they can conjure up through their imaginations, manipulate God to give them experiences. And that's what's happening today. An experience hungry people want to have power, and so you get phenomenon like The Secret, being able to dupe Christians. The Secret is a huge, again, another sort of occult program, if you will, an occult magical thing that Oprah Winfrey promoted. Oprah has 49 million viewers every week, and she promoted this book, DVD series, the film, The Secret. And Christians think that they can just tap into this other side, this force, and, you know, that they can have whatever they imagine, have whatever they want, and as I said before the break, Satan himself comes as an angel of light. His agenda is to deceive and dupe and destroy. and he has this gamut from white to light gray to darker gray to the dark side, that serpent of old, that dragon of old, who is tapped into with more satanic cults. But the pagan invasion seems to think that they can just sort of stop at the white side. But as we see from Harry himself, Harry couldn't stop at the white side. Harry could not be obedient. He, even out of school, when he knew he shouldn't have done magic, when he got disappointed or fed up or hurt about something, he would use his magic, he would be disobedient, he would lie, he would steal, and in the Harry Potter series, he always got commended for what he did wrong. So there's this moral relativism that is teaching that it's okay to do wrong, that the means justifies the end, which of course is completely opposite to biblical teaching, where we're told to be honest and pure, we're called to holiness because we're made in the image and likeness of God, and he tells us to be holy, and he has made us in a sense holy through Jesus Christ, through what Jesus has done for us. We can become born again and sinless, have eternal life in that sense, and have power over sin. So we have all the power available to us. All the riches of Christ are available to a Christian. So why are Christians encouraging people to turn to the light side of the source of Satan, the angel of light? Why? Why is this happening? Well, the Bible warns us that in the last days there will be an apostasy, there will be a falling away of the faithful, that there will be doctrines of demons taught, that there will be seducing spirits and seducing doctrines and testimonies and lessons that will itch our ears, and this is what we are seeing going on in the church today.
Well, we sure are. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're seeing so much false gospel, so much put out to, you know, to treat the itching ears. Everybody is looking for a new gimmick, a new means of selling Christianity. We should turn our back on the old ways, the old teachings. And, of course, isn't, you know, Harry Potter a wonderful way to introduce young people to Christian principles? After all, he was a good magician. He was a good witch. And what's wrong with goodness? Well, certainly Carol has done a wonderful job of bringing all of these things out. But what people do not understand is that we are under spiritual attack today. There are spiritual forces out there that are intent upon destroying the very fabric of our society. And if you don't understand what this is all about, you don't understand the danger of something like Sydney, the Harry Potter movies, and the fact that we're introducing our children to the supernatural powers that are very real. And this is why Carol's DVDs, and she has certainly the DVD on the supernatural powers, and of course the Hollywood Unmasked, and on the Gods of Entertainment, and then on Harry Potter. Wonderful, wonderful DVDs. If you haven't seen them, you need to get them. You need to show them to your children. And if you have a question for Carol, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. So you go ahead, pick this story up there.
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, some of the things that are happening in with the Christians introducing a sort of leniency, if you will. I was on a radio show earlier this week, and there were Christian callers. It was a Christian radio show, and there were Christian callers. What I was surprised at was that they were young callers. There was an 18-year-old girl, there was a 22-year-old young man. They were calling in saying that they had been reading the Harry Potter series. Now, remember, the Harry Potter series has been out 10 years, so they would have started when they were 13, 14, 15, whatever. And they had been reading the series. They loved the series. they said that they were very strong Christians. These were different callers. They were several minutes apart, 15 minutes apart or so. And they were from different parts of the country, which I just found very interesting. They were strong Christians. They were churched. They said that they knew their Bible. They were not going to become witches, but they loved Harry Potter. Now, that is very telling, because actually what we're doing is we're saying that we are Christians, but we don't want to obey God. Because God says we are not to listen to nations and others that talk about witchcraft, sorcery, divination, etc. So what's happening is there is a new type of Christianity with new young people saying that their opinion is more valid than God's. And if God thinks that witchcraft, that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, it doesn't matter. They're setting their own rules. So here we see the very message of moral relativism taught in Harry Potter coming down to our Christian church young people who say that they can do what God says not to do. They're having fun, they're reading it, it's okay, they're going to stay strong in their faith. But they're actually not staying strong in their faith. They're being disobedient, but they've justified their disobedience. So here we see, with experience coming in, that we've got huge amounts of Christians that are living with one another before they're married, involved in extramarital sex, involved in drugs, involved in whatever it is, it's acceptable because they're still supposedly love Jesus Christ or go to their Bible studies or whatever, or consider themselves to be strong Christians. So it's the moral relativism that has sunk in our postmodern culture, our postmodern times. It's okay. The personal pursuit, the pursuit of personal enjoyment, is much more important than obedience. It's a very interesting phenomenon.
And I share your concern. We've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 464-8295. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
Can I have one of each?
Sure you can.
This could seem a little harsh, but I think it needs to be said about any pastors who are out there suggesting that Harry Potter has anything to do with goodness or it's good. I knew of one preacher that was a church I was attending for a while. They were promoting Harry Potter, and I left the place promptly. I think that any pastor out there that's taking this sort of a view and promoting it is a fraud. And anybody in a church with a pastor that's talking that way should seriously try and talk with the pastor. And if you won't listen, I think you should leave. And getting on to my question, may I ask a comment? The date of the release of this book number 7 of Harry Potter happens to coincide with a satanic ritual date. It marks the beginning of a 7-day period of preparation involving abduction and preparation for human sacrifice, culminating on July 27th. It's a 7-day period. And I was looking for Wiccan calendars. I thought it would be more likely to find something there. And this is satanic, a satanic calendar, so there may not be a relationship. It's just a very interesting coincidence, if it's not a direct relationship.
You know, Mike, it's interesting you should say that, because if you look at the release of each of the books has been released on a very important pagan holiday, pagan festival. And I understand when you say the satanic side, you know, it'll make pagans and Wiccans and sorcerers and, in fact, the other day I was on a radio show and a witch called up and he wanted it to be made very clear and understood that there was a difference between sorcery and witchcraft, and sorcery was the manipulation of powers, certain powers, but witchcraft was different, and that Wiccans practiced low magic and he practiced high. And so he sort of went into all these definitions, and there again, what I noticed was that the white he had got into it in a certain way, but he's now getting into it deeper and deeper, but he believes it's getting whiter and whiter. But, of course, they would take umbrage at the fact that we're saying that there are certain satanic holidays tied to it. But whether Wiccans or pagans or white witches or the white side want to acknowledge it or not, the higher beings that are behind the hexes and magic working in a much greater way to get these books out, they're not choosing these days randomly. There is a purpose in why these books have each of them come out at a particular time of the moon's calendar, and just as you've pointed out, so one could say it's a coincidence, and there could be argument in it, but I don't believe there is. I don't believe it's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to point out the events. Anybody can make of it what they will. A lot of people are going to poo-poo it, of course, but go ahead. Just see how it plays out. The fact of the matter is we do have this out in our culture. 10 to 15, 20 years from now, as these children become adults, we are going to see a massive rise in Wiccan practice. And to all the witches listening, well, congratulations. Enjoy your trip, but it's only going to take you so far. You will meet the Lord face-to-face. And so will these children.
Well, let's hope they meet it before it's too late to turn back. Thanks very much for calling, Mike. Okay.
Very valuable, Mike. And I think, you know, as Christians, we're very naive. If we think, I mean, when we want something, we go to the Lord of the, our Creator God, God of the universe, and we pray. And why wouldn't witches and Satanists do the same thing when they want certain things to work, the Harry Potter books to influence the public, certain things to happen? Why wouldn't they go and do their rituals and pray and do their magic? We are completely naive to think that praying for things to work, whether we take them to God and ask Him to bathe them under His will and His blessing, and the Wiccans, pagans, Satanists, and other people of other religion don't do the same to their gods, is a very naive way of looking at life.
Somebody called and wanted to know if there's a difference between wizardry and witchcraft.
Well, Harry Potter is called a wizard, and some people say that a wizard is the male of the Wiccan, who's the female, but that's not necessarily true. The interesting thing with witchcraft, paganism, is that one can actually, it's a sort of potpourri. You can, there's no absolutes within the pagan worldview. There's only absolutes within the biblical worldview. God is a God of absolutes and truth and integrity. I mean, those are, there's absolutes. In the pagan worldview, there aren't. So it's always being reformed or unreformed or changed or undermined, or some people will say this, certain encyclopedias will say that. I personally think that wizardry and witchcraft are very close, probably the same thing. But, of course, you know, the Wiccans and sorcerers and diviners that are listening will probably say that there are twists.
I think it's probably a distinction without a difference. Let's go to Daniel, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Daniel.
Good evening, folks. I just wanted to ask a quick question, and I was going to hang up and listen to your response off the air. I know that we need to be discerning when we read books, and the devil in the Bible is called the prince of the power of the airwaves, and I think that literally means our brain waves and also the internet and television. Now, if you're a Christian out there and you're lost on the internet, my ministry is called SaveAmericaNow.com. It's free. I'm not selling anything. I'm just saying if you need an anchor, you might want to try that. And the question was, I think the story of the year that's not being covered is the Michael New story, but that's, I'm not trying to change the subject. But
all right, fine.
The question was, is this witchcraft, this type of Wiccan stuff, is this what Aleister Crowley created? And could you comment on the connection between the Harry, indirectly or directly between Harry Potter books and Aleister Crowley?
All right, thank you so much, Daniel. And is there any connection between Harry Potter and Aleister Crowley?
Well, I would encourage Daniel to go to my website, Carol, CARYLTV.com. I have covered Aleister Crowley in his connection with the Beatles, and I have talked about Harry Potter mania and Beatlemania probably being the two greatest historical events in the last 40 years. Aleister Crowley was the inventor, and as you'll see in my blog, the inventor of the concept of I will, the idea of absolute out rebellion, that you could have whatever you wanted through his a sort of anti-monastery.
All that thought will be right
back.
All that thought will be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's been Carol Matriciana, and of course, basically, you have your witchcraft, you have your Satanists, you have your Crowleyites, you have your wizards, and certainly you have people in the New Age, and there are all sorts of different manifestations of this, but they're all tapping into the same power. There are people who worship Lucifer, openly worship Lucifer. They're all tapping into the same power, and they're just using different doors to get to the same source of power. Would you think that would be a satisfactory definition, or would you like to change that?
Well, in the Harry Potter books, it's interesting because Harry himself draws from the same source of power as the evil Lord Voldemort. They both draw their power from the phoenix of Albus Dumbledore, who's the headmaster of the school. And the power, therefore, of Albus Dumbledore, the head witch, principal Wiccan master of Hogwarts, he has redefined it as a sort of that Harry uses the power for good, but the evil Lord Voldemort and the ones his Death Eaters and his followers and those from the dormitory, the faculty that he came from, are the ones that have used it for evil. But as I said, even within Harry Potter, when Harry when he gets angry or upset, he actually misuses his magic as well. So within that whole magical world, while they try and say that one part of the source is used for good and the other part is used for evil, the problem is that the users themselves are evil, or at least have the inclination to be human. So, you know, just as in our world, in a sense, with Christians, yes, we are always going to continue sinning, and there's no such thing as a perfect Christian, but there is the perfect Christ. God himself was perfect, and if we stay hid in Christ, through his work, we have been perfected. But there isn't that kind of definition, if you will, within paganism, because it's ever-changing. There are no absolutes, so you know, it can be continually changed. So yes, Satan himself is the angel of light on the one side, and yet you'll get the Crowleyites, the ones that are hugely rebellious, that will get into the darker side of things. In fact, on my site...
Carol, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Carol Matriciana, certainly one of our favorite guests, and we always love having Carol. If you're interested, of course, she has a number of DVDs. One's on Harry Potter, one's on the supernatural. She has one on the Hollywood Unmasked. She has one, The Gods of Entertainment. And well, you can certainly go to our website and look at the number of DVDs we have that of Carol's that we carry. We recommend them all, because each one has a different story. Her latest one, Yoga, you know, and it goes into the unwinding the serpent, I think it is. But anyway, if you're interested, just ask for the DVD on Yoga. We need to get the information out. And, Chris, yoga is coming to the church. All of these practices are coming into the Christian church. Christianity is under attack today. Why? Because they have to destroy Christianity to bring about their new world religion, which goes along with their new world order and their new world leader. There is a spiritual battle taking place today, and most people don't understand what it's all about. The war certainly in the Middle East is a diversion to keep us from seeing this very real war. If you like, of course, get more information on Carol's DVDs on Harry Potter, on yoga, on the supernatural, Hollywood's attack on America. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, for additional information. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will give very real consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every single day, trying to reach people to understand what this is all about, and hoping that those of you who do not have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ will turn to Him, and turn to Him now, because believe me, we're moving into a time of crisis and chaos unparalleled in the history of our nation since its very inception. So certainly we hope that you'll very seriously consider reading my book or watching my DVD, which incidentally is available on the internet without charge. But we hope, if you'd like to get the DVD, you can certainly get it from Radio Liberty, The Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on Forbidden Secret, our new 4-CD or 4-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, Chris Pinto's wonderful DVD, award-winning, the best documentary of last year, according to the New York Film Festival, and of course that was The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, the next in the series, Riddles in Stone, which received the Los Angeles the Film Festival Award. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get the DVD we have with Chris Pinto. Talked at our seminar last year about the Atlantis connection. We have another DVD by Constance Cumby entitled The Emergence, going into the plan for the return of the world leader. The plan is in place. Everything is ready. It's only a matter of time before the new world leader does emerge. That's a DVD called The Emergence. So all this and so much other information is available through Radio Liberty, and your job is to help us get this out to people, understand that most of what's going on today is to distract us from the real battle, the spiritual battle being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the internet, live 3 hours a day, or on Global Star at the same site, 4 hours a day. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.